Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Shawnee Baptist Temple. Let's all stand and we'll start with a word of prayer. Daddy, Father, just thank you again for this time to be here tonight, Lord. Just praise you for this prayer meeting as we're here to bring this prayer request to you, Lord. Just praise you also be with the song service, be with the message phone. I'm going to honor and glorify you, for it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's all take your hymnals and turn them to hymn number 288. Hymn number 288, I Am Resolved. Said. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Amen. What a blessing, huh? I tell you, I really appreciate those girls and their hard work on that number. So if you want, I would suggest you take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. So I was visiting with my son here about a week ago, and he was telling me that he had a really hard Sunday. And I said, really? And I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, we were, the choir started the congregation off, and he goes, it was really good. And so I had him, I wanted him to come back up and sing again. And so I went to the pulpit, I read my text, and I said, we're going to have the choir come back and re-sing their song. And then following that, we're going to have Noah and Mrs. Parker sing. And he said, the choir came back, just nailed it again. It was really great. And then he goes, something I was totally unprepared for is Noah got up and began to sing with this lady, Mrs. Parker, in the church. And he said, I started crying. And I cried and I cried and I cried, and they were done. And I'm still crying, I'm still crying, I'm still crying. Because I'm looking at my wife like, do something. And, you know, she can't do nothing. And I said, you know, you ought to be thankful. I said, you just showed your church that you're real, you know. And so Noah's headed off to college in a couple of days here. Headed down to Heartland. Hard to believe we got a grandson now going to college. It was hard to believe we had a grandson graduating. Now we headed off to college. And before long, who knows, there might be wedding bells, you know, in 4 or 5 years. Not rushing it by any means, but it could hurry up. That'd be fine. And, you know, so anyhow, with that in mind, Branson, why don't you come up? I remember his first year going off to college, and his mom and dad were kind of distraught. And, you know, is he going to go down there and, you know, bomb? Is he going to go down there and get in prison? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think his mom still probably does some of that. Why don't you give us a little bit of testimony about going back to school, where you're going to be grade-wise, and here's a love offering from the church to let you know we love you and care for you. And so what we do, so you understand, is when our kids go to a Bible-type college, we give them a scholarship of $300 a semester. So he's going to Pensacola, a Bible-based college, and so that's what that's about. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to my third year now, junior year, biology, chemistry major now, Pensacola Christian College. First 2 years have been a great blessing on not only my life, but just the friends I've made there and the impact they've had on me. Lost a lot of them this year, but I know God's working through it all to just give me a new semester, make new friends, just guide my life there. And I just ask that you pray for school this year, going into one of my harder years, so just that God will give me wisdom and grace there. So thank you.
Amen. All right, so be praying for Branson, for the Marchessos. Will one of you be escorting him down? Oh, he's, this is old time stuff. Get on the road, go, get out of the house, make sure you leave your room clean, all that good stuff. Amen. And it's good to have John and Lois with us. Brother John, why don't you come on up and give us testimony of what God's doing in your life. Many of you remember Brother John's pastor, and he'll have to fill in the years, a number of years down in Centropolis. He's one of ours, and we thank the Lord for that. And God's kind of called him into a new ministry, so I'll let you fill in all of that, Brother John.
One thing here. What up, dog? You okay? You're not okay now? She just turned like 3 shades.
Yes,
red.
She's
like
still
that.
Red.
Okay. She'll have to tell y'all that story, okay? Because I have no idea who she is. Even right now, I don't even know who she is. So, anyway, we just became instant friends over the word dog. Anyway, I guess that's D-A-W-G. Well, anyway, I've been pastoring in at Centropic Baptist Church for 11 years this past June. And for over a year, the Lord's been dealing with me on evangelists and evangelism. And just a lot of things been going on. And then COVID hit and kind of just slowed things down. I don't want to say it shut down, but it slowed mentally a lot of things down. And God just began really putting a burden on just the preaching, his word, and studying the book of Joel really kind of made an impact on that. Because there's a need for today that I have a lot of preaching podcasts, old preachers, good old-fashioned preachers, and preach the Bible and different things, and just preachers from back. And God really was, you know, we don't always have to go back to hear good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And reading the book of Joel, where he cries out to the minister to awake and cry, is for today. And so our goal, with the Lord's leading and providing, our goal is to reach the youth of today, not the youth of tomorrow. It's always been my thing, if we wait for tomorrow, we'll lose them. But if we can catch them today, then we have a better chance of keeping them. And that's what we want to do. And then cry out awake. It's a blessing to be able to be called of God to declare His word.
Amen.
And to proclaim it, and not only just declare it, but proclaim it. And know why you're doing it, because there's coming a day when there's a generation that'll follow us that know not the Lord. And I don't want to be the reason for that.
Right.
I want to do what I can to help people understand that we are to cry aloud. And so you pray for us as we step out. And it's totally by faith. It's brand new, at least for us. I have no idea what I'm doing. But with the guidance of my preacher and a few others, we're just going to hit it and run and not look back. So thank you all for loving on us. Shawnee Mission's home at heart.
Amen.
And we appreciate every opportunity we can come back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget to pray for Miss Lois. I think that's who we usually pray for the most, being married to John. But we sure love him and appreciate him. Boy, what a week, huh? It has been one of those tailspin weeks in our life. Brother Chin, of course, going downhill on Sunday. Finally, this morning, like 12:45, went home to be with the Lord. What a blessing. Can you imagine what that would have been like to step into a new day into heaven? That had to just be pretty amazing. And so he passed away early this morning. Then my cousin, Marianne, I always called her my aunt because she's like 20 years older than I am. And she came to our church when we were over in the old building. She lived in Overland Park at the time. And she ended up moving to Arkansas, where her son was in ministry in a church down there. And so she moved down there. And yesterday morning, some ladies went by her house to pick her up, and she had passed away. Totally not prepared for that at all. And then we got from Ms. Metzinger, got contacted from some people that used to be in our church years and years and years ago. What happened was we lived over on, what was that, 12,000 West 66th Street. And my wife, her ministry is garage sales. And so she'd go to garage sales with tracks. And whenever she bought something, she gave a tract. And even if she didn't buy something, she'd given tracts out. And so she gave a tract to our back door neighbors. And they said, well, we've been looking for a Baptist church. They came, started coming. I was able to, he claimed to be a Christian. I baptized him into the church. They had three kids, kind of stair-stepped down. The oldest one's name was Skyler. And Joe, the husband, passed away in 2013, I think it was. And then this last Sunday morning, Skyler was murdered. Someone shot him 7 times at a park over here in Kansas City, Kansas. And so if you would pray for the Needham family. And just kind of a little twist on that is that Ken Cassie's son, Bill, his wife is this woman's sister. So there's a relationship there, too. So if you'll just pray for them as they go through this whole thing, I can't imagine. It would be hard to lose a kid to, cancer, a car wreck, but for someone to murder him, we're witnessing that now with the Gilsons, what they're living through. So please be praying for them. All right, Isaiah chapter 60, 60, 61, 62. I'm telling you, there's probably no way in the world I should be able to get this in today, so we're going to try and see where we go from there. Look at with me, if you would, to verse number 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our time together this evening. We pray and ask that you would meet with us, that you might be honored and glorified through the preaching, teaching of your word. We thank you for Brother Branson as he heads back to school. Lord, you give him traveling mercies. Go with him and give him a great school year. He might grow not only in academics, but in the spiritual realm. Lord, that he would become the Christian you want him to become and just walk closer to you. We pray that you would be with Brother John and Miss Lois. They head into this new ministry. And Lord, we pray and ask that you would bless and lead in their lives, that you would meet the needs that they have and just bless them in a great and mighty way. And fill his calendar and use him for your glory. We love you. And we'd ask that you'd meet with us tonight, Lord, and have your will done. Here in our midst, we ask these things in your name. Amen. And so, as we're thinking about this, in Isaiah 59:20, the Bible says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now remember, we're still talking, being led into the millennial reign of Christ. So this is where we're at here in Isaiah 60, 61, and 62. It's bringing us into that reign. And as our first point tonight is the splendor of God's people. And that's not the church. The church by this time is gone. This is coming up, and I think it's going to go kind of like that, you know, when we're talking about the millennial reign. He's giving us the background of how it's going to come. But when we're raptured out, this isn't about us. This is about the Jews, God's people, how God's going to deal with them. And those who believe in replacement theology, they're in a big mess right here when they come to this portion of Scripture. And so, we see the splendor of God's people, the Jewish nation, I believe, and the facts concerning their city, found verses 1 through 3, and then in chapter 61, verses 4 through chapter 62, and verse number 12, there we read, "And they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." And then verse 12, it says, "And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." And so Jerusalem will be illuminated by the entire world. It's going to grow. It's going to be a lit place. And we know why it's going to be lit, right? It's because the S-O-N will then inhabit it. The sun, the stars, and the moon, they won't be necessary at this time because Jesus is going to inhabit the New Jerusalem as it is there and is being established for the millennial reign of Christ. There will be no darkness. Remember Isaiah 60, verse 2? "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon them. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings of the brightness of thy rising." I was reading after one theologian, and he said of this latter portion of Scripture that I just shared with you, that this is probably the greatest altar call that will ever be given in the history of the world. As the light of Jesus is going to shine, the Gentiles are even going to come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And he says they're going to come and they're going to want to worship him. They're going to want to know him. And his people, of course, will already be there. And so it will illuminate the entire world. Everyone will know about Jerusalem. And all the nations will see its light. It will be visited and honored by the Gentiles. In Isaiah 60, verse 5 through 7, we read, "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all this of Seba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with the acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." And so they're going to visit. The Gentiles are going to come. They're going to bring honor unto the Lord. They're going to desire to know him also. They're going to desire to worship him like the rest of the world. Then down in verses 10 through 16, we read, "The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee." And it's going to be amazing. The Gentiles are going to come, and they're going to begin to do things for Israel. It kind of reminds me, as we're reading through the Old Testament, and we see Israel moving in and going to take the promised land. They go in and they defeat a city, and then they would just move in and they would take over what was already there. Here we see that the Gentiles are going to come and kings are going to come, and they're going to want to worship at the feet of Jesus, and they're going to do things for Israel. They're going to build walls, and they're going to restore things. They're going to build gates. These things they're going to do. And then verse number 11 says, "Therefore the gates shall be open continually." Boy, can you imagine that? Not having to lock your doors. I can remember those days going out to visit Cindy's folks out on the farm. They didn't lock the door. They let the keys in the car. And, you know, all those things. That's changed. Even out in the middle of the country now, they don't leave the house unlocked anymore. I don't know if I could sleep in it if they left the house unlocked. I'm just so used to everything being locked up. But here, everything's going to be good again. And it's going to be under the rule of God. And Jesus will be said. And the gates will be open continually. They'll not have to shut them day or night. "That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be bought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of thy sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious." And on and on. They're going to come. They're going to bring things to honor the Lord. And it goes down in verse number 14. It's there in the middle part. It says, "The city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Wow, what an exciting time this is going to be. As they begin to get ready to set the rain, and here's Jesus, and there's no need for a sun. There's no need for the moon. His brightness overshadows it all. And the nations of the world are going to come. They're going to bring their goods. They're going to come and want to worship at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said if they don't, they're going to die. They're going to waste away. The nations will come to see Jerusalem and bring its people goods. There in verse 6 of chapter 60, it says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." And can I show you something that was shown to me today as I was studying this? "They shall come and they shall bring gold and incense." Does this kind of ring a bell? Christmas, my favorite time of year. Amen? What did the three wise men bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there's no need for myrrh because Jesus is not going to die this time. He already died. That was in preparation for His death. The frankincense, incense, that coincide, these are gifts that are going to show that Jesus is established. He's not dying again. He did that before. Now He's established. And they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. It will be protected by God Himself. As we think about this land that is set up, verses 17 through 18, violence will disappear from the land. Can you imagine what that would be like, not to have any violence? I mean, it breaks my heart when I read about the violence that's going on in the world around us. It really just kind of rocked me when I heard about what had happened in the Needham family and what happened, you know, several months ago to the Gilsons. Those things are really hard to accept. But in this day, it's not going to happen. Verse 17 of chapter 60, it says, "For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. And I will also make thy officers peace, and thine extractors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise." Wow. Can you imagine that? They're walking around the city, and they're going to go, "We're going to call the walls here salvation, and the gates we're going to call praise." And so every time you're walking by, someone might go, "Hey, what's that gate?" "Oh, that's a gate of praise." It should remind them then to praise God, to pray thankful. You know, the gates and the walls ought to remind them, "Hey, we ought to be thankful, first of all, for our salvation, and we ought to stop and praise Him at the gate and praise Him for all that He has done." By the way, we're talking about the millennial reign, but that's good for us today, isn't it? Just stop and be thankful for our salvation. I'm afraid we've come to a point in Christianity where salvation is not really that big a deal to a lot of people. Just think about where you would be without your salvation. We'd be headed to a Christless eternity. But salvation should be one of the key hinge points of our life. And then we ought to stop and praise God every time we think about what He has done for us, every time we hear a sermon about what He's done for us, every time we read a portion of Scripture about what He's done for us. We ought to just stop and say, "God, thank You that You saved me." He didn't have to save you. There's nothing in and in of you or me that's worthy of salvation. I mean, you can be as good looking as anybody in the world. That's not going to get you saved. You can be as rich as anybody in the world. That's not going to get you saved. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind that any of us can be saved. It will shine forever in its splendor. Look at verse number 19 there, chapter 60. "The sun shall no more thy light by day, neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down." Neither is it going to be like living in Alaska. Think about it. Maybe. Might be snow there too. Wouldn't that be awesome? "Neither shall..." I'm just kind of preaching through the lines. Sorry. "Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended." Boy, that's going to be wonderful. Amen. No more broken hearts. No more people that we love dying. No more going to funerals. And setting through those eulogies and thinking back about how that person impacted your life and reflecting on it. No, that's not going to happen anymore. It's going to be wonderful. "And thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, and the branch of my planting and the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and one and small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time." The Lord's going to take and bless the nation of Israel. You know, people have always looked at the nation of Israel kind of as a pushover. They're small. They're insignificant. You know, they've tried to push them out. They've tried to take them over. I've wondered many times, how big would Israel be if all the people have ever persecuted it and have murdered probably hundreds of thousands of people, and if they would have lived and repopulated, I wonder how big Israel would actually be if those hadn't come along to try to kill, to annihilate, to destroy. But this time they're going to flourish. They're going to become big. Their family's going to grow. The population will drastically increase. The smallest family will become a large clan. And it will be known by various new names, this place of Israel. In chapter 62, verses 1 through 4, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Now, I know this is talking about millennial reign and these things, but, you know, we can apply this yet to us today. We were forsaken before we asked Christ into our heart. We're going to spend a Christless eternity in the devil's hell. We were forsaken, and the land turned desolate. I had nothing good inside of me. There's nothing good naturally inside of the heart of man. That just doesn't exist. These things can be very much applied to where we are today. And so it ought to cause us to be thankful. And then to look forward at, hey, this is what's going to happen when that reign is set up. When Jesus is ruling and reigning and the people are growing, no one's dying, and the population is getting bigger and bigger and all those kind of things, it's going to be wonderful. Wonderful. You ever wonder what this world would have been like if the serpent hadn't been in the garden? Man, I've wondered that a million times. What would it have been like if Satan hadn't been there to tempt Eve? And of course we know he tempts her with what? Doubting the Word of God. Well, this is going to be that perfect setting. Because, you know, the serpent, Satan, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's not going to be allowed to rule and reign. This is going to be Christ's kingdom. Christ is going to rule there. Verse number 12 says, "And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Wouldn't it be great if people referred to us that way today? Hey, those are some of those holy people. And nothing wrong with being called holy, okay? It'd be a good term for us to embrace, to love, to desire. I desire that people might know me to be a holy person. And then the redeemed of the Lord. Man, I am so thankful I'm a redeemed of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? To know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, yeah, it makes me happy. It makes me happy to know that I'm redeemed. "And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken." And I tell you how wonderful it is to be saved, how wonderful it's going to be for those who get to live at this time. And so there's some facts concerning their country. But, you know, I probably ought to cut it off there for tonight and pick that up next week right there, because I'm not even halfway through. So I could push it and we'd get out of here about 10 o'clock, but some of you might want to get out of here before that. So we'll look forward to finishing. Study this this week, that it might be applied to our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, your love to us. We thank you to know that we're saved. What a blessing it is to know a salvation. It's a blessing to see what the future holds. What a sorry time in the world in which we live, and it looks bleak and unbearable. But we know all these things must come to pass because of what the future lies in store. And God, I pray that you give us the grace and the wisdom to reach out, to see others one to you while there's yet time, to see people come to know you as our Lord and Savior, maybe even to witness the great last revival of the church age. Lord, we pray that you would just lead us and guide us. Give us wisdom and insight and help. Thank you for the promises of the millennial reign. What a joy it's going to be for the people who live at that time. We love you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. So we're going to switch gears to prayer requests. And so if you want to get your prayer sheets out, we'll be going through those.